Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm so happy to introduce you to Kelly Snow, the development director at Explore More Discovery Museum. This museum is a special place in the Valley that recognizes children are curious with unique learning styles. Their exhibits provide for auditory, visual, and tactile experiences. Thus, their mission is to engage young minds through interactive, multi-sensory learning experiences, promoting a greater understanding of themselves and their world. They offer educational programs, summer camps, science exploration, creative playtime, field trips, paint and play, and birthday parties. They highlight the diversity and rich history of the community, enhancing the quality of life in the Shenandoah Valley through community effort and partnership. Welcome to the show, Kelly. It's great to have you on today.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you.
I am too. This is exciting. We had your husband on a little bit ago about youth fine arts. And now we get to have the other better half on the show today. Sorry, JR. We still love you.
Yeah, we love you. That's okay.
This is going to be so great because when I moved here, my family moved here to the Valley. My son was going into the eighth grade. So he was merging past that part in his life where he would have loved this museum. Yeah. We probably would have lived there is what I'm saying. So
we have a lot of families that do. So, yeah.
I'm excited to share this with people so they can hear more about it if they haven't had a chance to go, or maybe they have and they can learn a little bit more about it to take, you know, better advantage of what you guys offer. Or if they're coming into the area, they've got a reason to stop by and say hi to you all and play. That's what
Absolutely.
I'm thinking. That's right.
Yeah, I love it.
Yes. I'd like to start with a little bit behind the scenes with you. Can you share a little bit about your background with us and what brought you to the museum?
Sure. Yeah. So I am one of those kind of unusual people who's been a career fundraiser from the beginning. A lot of times people sort of fall into this profession after having done something else, but I got out of college and started fundraising right away. And I've always been really passionate about children's causes. And so I found myself in some different places over the years connected to raising funds for children's efforts. I did some university fundraising as well. Since we moved to the Valley back in 2005, I actually got pulled into volunteering with Explore More. There was a friend of mine in the area who said, hey, you should come and help with this fundraising event that this children's museum is putting on. At the time, I didn't have children. So I didn't even really know what children's museums were, but I thought this sounds fun. So I'll jump in and help with this event. And it was a lot of fun. It was a great way to meet more people in the community. And then it opened me up to this amazing place and all the cool work that happens at Explore More. So fast forward a number of years, three children later, and, you know, my family just really fell in love with the museum, you know, through our own visits with the kids. And I continued to volunteer with them on different events and different things like that. So when the opportunity came up to actually work for them, I thought, oh my gosh, this would be the coolest, most fun job ever. Would they actually ever hire me? And thankfully, they did. And so I'm in my fourth year now with actually working for the museum as their development director. And it's just such a fun place to work. It's a quality team that works here. And just to be able to have the opportunity to raise money for an organization that believes so strongly in the power of play and how important that is for kids. It just means a lot to be able to be a part of that and provide that opportunity here in the community.
Well, I am very glad that you have joined their team, because it was exciting to get ready for this interview today. I was looking at everything that you have to offer and I was like, this is amazing.
It is a great place. It's very special. Yeah.
Yes, it is very special. There's so many activities the kiddos can do. Who is behind creating all these programs and classes, and what goes into it?
Oh my gosh. Well, like I said, we have an amazing team of people, some who've been with the museum since the very beginning. We're almost 20 years old, and we've got some dedicated folks who've been around from the ground up. and one of those people is our lead educator, Melanie Veith, more affectionately known to the kids in our community as Miss Melanie. and she really is the mastermind behind so many of the programs and educational workshops that we provide. She has worked tirelessly over the years to come up with lots of exciting programs that sort of extend the learning opportunities through the exhibits that we offer. And she just does an amazing job pulling things together and, you know, getting online and doing all the research and coming up with this great curriculum and figuring out ways to make sure that it's as hands-on as possible. It's experiential, it's interactive. And she lets these kids, you know, just be kids and make messes and have fun and fail and try again and do all those amazing things. So she really is kind of the lead person behind making the magic happen from a program standpoint. We have our amazing exhibit director, Marcia Zook. She's the mastermind behind what everything looks like and how everything feels. And so all of the exhibits she has made, you know, beautiful and interactive and really engaging. She also has the hard job of figuring out how to make sure that that the exhibits last when we have thousands of children come through our doors each year. The exhibits often become very well loved. And so she figures out how to make sure that everything stays together and stays safe for the kids to have the most fun. And of course, our ultimate visionary is Lisa Scholl. She's our executive director, and she really helped start the museum with a group of parents back in 2003. And she has just, she's one of the reasons I'm so excited to work here, because her vision and her belief in why play is so important to kids is just, it's such an honor to get to work under her and follow her. And she's done such a great job with keeping that vision going and expanding it and really building it out so that thousands and thousands of kids over the years have been able to have these great learning opportunities.
That's really great. I'd like to talk about that just a little bit more with that strong vision. I'm wondering if you can just expand on the heart and passion behind the power of play, if you could share a bit more about that vision with us.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I think, like I mentioned earlier, I've always been very passionate about children's causes, because I feel like children are, they're our future. They're, you know, they're, we have to stand up for them. We have to support them. You know, we have to be there for them and provide them with their needs to grow strong, both emotionally, socially, all the things. And so, one of the things that's been really interesting since I started working here, you know, I knew how important play was, and I always wanted to certainly engage my own children in play and that kind of thing. And even, you know, and adults need play too. We always, you know, have to remind ourselves to take time out for ourselves and play.
That's right. Come to a comedy show.
I know, right? Yes. That laughing.
That's play.
It's literally medicine. So it is the best medicine.
Shameless plug. Anyway, go ahead. I couldn't help myself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's you know, I've kind of dug into the science a little bit more since I've started working here, and I've become really more interested in what's actually happening behind play. And it is just so much more than having a good time, especially for kids. I mean, this is like critical development that is going on in these children's brains. I mean, the amount of growth that's happening in their first 5 years of life in their brains is like huge. And it's all done through play. You know, it's all done through the opportunity to, they're touching things, they're manipulating things, they're putting things in their mouths, they're, you know, they're falling and getting back up. And all of these kinds of things happen through play. And that's how they kind of figure things out. That's how they know, you know, how to start walking. That's how they know to start talking. That's how they know whether, you know, how to interact with other children. You know, you see, I've heard a lot about like people who get older and maybe they're not making the strongest choices in their lives. And if you go back historically and look at kind of their play histories, a lot of them didn't really have some quality play opportunities. And so I think that's kind of interesting when you think about, you know, we look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and obviously we want to make sure everybody's got their food and shelter and all of that. But when it comes to kids, they really need this high quality play. And so that's why I'm so glad that the museum is here to help provide that. You know, unfortunately, and this is no dig to the schools, it's just sort of out of their control. They can't do as much in the way of hands-on learning anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if we can be an extra resource or an extension of that or another option in the community to help with that interactive play, then we're here for it and ready to help all the kids that we can.
Yes, you do. And you have weekly programs. One of the things you have available, it seems ongoing, is this Maker City. Can you tell us what is in Maker City?
Yes, Maker City, we developed a couple of years ago. You know, our target age range here at the museum is from 0 to 12. But we really wanted to create a special place for those ages 8 to 12, the older kids, because they're starting to get to a point where they're, you know, they have different needs, they're different developmental needs, different play needs. And we wanted to give them kind of their own special space where they didn't feel like they were running around with all the little kids. And so, so we created Maker City, and it's this awesome place where these older kids can go in and basically make things, and they can make whatever they want. So it's a giant maker space. We've got woodworking, sewing, perler beads, a laser cutter. We've got a 3D printer. There's some really cool online software, that engineering software that the kids can learn if they want to paint or some sort of fabric art. I mean, you name it, they can probably make it in there. And so it's been a really fun space for our older kids to enjoy. And some of the things that they've gotten into in there have been really cool to see, you know, that sometimes we'll provide sort of a guided option. But a lot of times it's just kind of an open make type situation. And so they come in and decide they want to make something. We had one girl this past holiday season, she made her own elf for Elf on the Shelf. What? She made them herself. Yep. So she sewed and stitched and all the things. And now she's got her own little friend. We had another guy who made a K-cup coffee holder for his dad in his office. So, I mean, it's really cool. You never know what's going to come out of there, and the kinds of skills that the kids are learning. I mean, some of those things could actually turn into, you know, some real world job opportunities someday. So it's really
or
fun
businesses
to
too, or
for
a small,
sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, when they come in for the weekly programs, is there an admission fee for that to come in weekly?
Yeah, well, so it depends. It's part, if you're a member, then it's part of your membership for some of our programs. Some of them, we do have additional fees depending on what it is. But for Maker City, that would be part of your admission into the museum. So whether you pay the admission price or you have a membership, you can participate in our open make times through that. And then every now and then we offer a specialized maker workshop that would require an additional fee.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, the programs are just beautiful. There's a first Lego League program that seems to be hugely popular. In fact, it's full right now. I can totally see it. My son's 28 now, and he loves Legos. In fact, he's put some Legos together right now. You can see it on his Instagram.
I love it.
I know.
There's that adult play.
Yeah, so that's adult play. Yeah, he knows all about it. He's great at it. And we have he has, you know, old Legos we still have in our home in this huge storage container in our basement. He would have loved that. So what are the ages for this program? What's it all about? Can you tell us how people can get involved with this if they love Legos?
Yeah, the Lego League is something we do every spring. And so we bring together kids 6 and up who love Legos, and they spend, I think the program's about 12 weeks long. It's once a week. They come in and they get to play with Legos, and it's sort of a STEM-based learning opportunity where they're actually given a problem to solve, and they have to use Legos to solve that problem. And so, you know, a couple years ago, it was a space related mission where they had to figure out how to be able to move around on the moon. And this year, I believe the topic is all about cargo and how to carry cargo, get cargo from one place to another, out, you know, how to packaging, all of that kind of stuff. And so, you know, with ships getting stuck in the Suez Canal, you know, it's, yep, these are real world problems that people have to be solving, how to get this cargo from one place to the next. So, so it's kind of fun to get to see how the kids are, you know, trying to figure out, how to use their Legos to solve these different problems. And then it ends with a kind of an exposition of sorts where they, each team gets to showcase what they've created, talk about how they developed it, why they came to this decision, their trial and error process and things like that. So that's a really cool experience for the kids.
I would say I've never seen anything like that. I did do social studies fairs in middle school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had our, yes, little presentation, we worked up to it, and then we had our, mm-hmm, stations, and the judges would come by and other parents would come by and talk and interact with us. So it sounds like it's similar to that, except it's about these Legos.
That's right. It's exactly like that. Yep.
Okay. Was there hors d'oeuvres?
There might be some cookies. Maybe cookies. Some lemonade.
Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering, you know, a foodie wants to know. Bye. Yeah. We'll see these Legos, get some cookies.
Yeah, there you go.
There's also the TED Ed Club you all have, mm-hmm, for grades 5 through 8, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And that sounds like an incredible opportunity for students to present their big ideas in the form of short video talks. It gives them this hands-on opportunity to work on their storytelling and communication skills. I would have loved that. Grades, yeah, 5 through 8. I'm jelly. What are some of the most interesting and creative ideas that you've seen so far?
Oh my gosh, they've come up with all kinds of different things. And they're basically giving their own little mini TED talk. It's really an outstanding program, and it's a great way for kids to learn about some of those presentation skills and getting up on stage. And, so, I mean, we've seen lots of different things from, recycling and taking care of our planet to, I think one of the topics this year is actually about, whether there should be helmets in football or not, and how that relates to brain concussions and traumatic brain injuries. I mean, these young kids are tackling some big time issues, and we try to, you know, within the realm of what we can do with young kids, we really try to let the kids pick whatever kind of topic they want and really dig in and explore it and learn how to do some research and find appropriate sources and all that kind of stuff. So it's really cool to see what these kids are passionate about, you know, even at age 11 or 12. And they have some really good thoughts about why these things matter. So it's a cool program.
It sounds very cool. I'm curious about the video aspect. So is this broadcast out to, where is this broadcast out to, these short video talks?
Well, we have a live presentation time where, okay, the kids get to actually go up on an auditorium stage and present in front of an audience. They can invite their friends and family to come and join in, and anybody can come from the community and sit in and watch. And during that presentation time, we film them. And so after that, they each get a copy of their own talk. And then we also will post the talks on our YouTube page too.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the commitment and fee for them? It's once a year. I think you went over that part, right? So
yes. Then, yeah. This is a program that's offered in the spring semester for school. And the cool part is it's free. The TED Ed program, nice, across the country, they provide these opportunities across the country for free. So it's just all you have to do is sign up. There's a short little application that's also good practice for kids to kind of learn how to apply for something. And then that's that. So it's pretty easy to join. I think every January is when the applications come out.
Okay. And that information would be on your website also, I imagine.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Good. Wow. That is an incredible opportunity. How old are your kids?
So my kids are 13, 11, and 8. And so actually my 11-year-old is participating in the TED Ed program and my 8-year-old is in the Lego program.
Ah.
And they're loving it. It's so fun to watch them get to, you know, try these things out. So.
Wow. Yeah. Because both of those things are wrapping up next weekend. I guess we're recording this today is April 8th. So it's next weekend. Both of those things are wrapping up now.
Yeah. In a couple weeks.
But okay.
April 24th and 25th.
Okay.
Sort of the ending time for that. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. I'm going to have to check out the YouTube video of the younger snow. Younger snows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Young ones. All right. This is going to be exciting. I'll be looking out for that.
She's got lots to say and she may have some of her father's sassiness. So she'll be great on stage.
This will be a must say. That's right. She's the little actress too. Isn't she the one?
And my oldest is also doing acting and dancing and performing as well. So
Where did
and
they
I'm
get
sure
that, from?
That the youngest will follow suit knowing his personality.
Do they ever get you up on stage singing and dancing?
Sometimes.
Oh, good.
Sometimes. If it's lip syncing some Whitney Houston, then there might be a stage time for mommy.
There may be an appearance.
That's right.
All right. I'm looking out for this. Yeah. Family friendly. That's what your family is. That's what the museum does with the activities. You can even do some explore more activities at home. And you have over 30 different themes available. One of them is sing along with Kylie.
Yeah.
See, I looked at that. I was like, okay, how did they come up with this program and how does this work? So do tell.
Yes. Well, so Explore More at Home was born out of the pandemic, actually. You know, when the world first shut down back in March of 2020, I guess, you know, we're as a hands-on children's museum, us and a pandemic don't really work very well together. So, you know, we had to shut down to keep everybody safe, but we also felt like, you know, we have to still be here for the kids. The kids need play now more than ever. You know, they're all stuck at home and trying to figure things out. And it might be kind of scary. Why am I going to school online and all these crazy things? What does this pandemic mean? And so our staff got quickly to work to kind of figure out how can we still be there for the kids, even if they can't come to us at the museum. And so that's where Explore More at Home was born. And we all got really good at videoing and YouTubing and figuring out how to translate some of the activities that we do in the museum into sort of an at-home setting. Initially, we tried to make it so that any of the materials that they might need at home would be very easily accessible at home, things that almost anybody would have at home, like an empty toilet paper roll or something like that. And eventually, we did also add the opportunity to do some curbside pickup of some materials that they could take home that would help them with some of the videos that we were providing. But, you know, it was a great way to kind of try to stay connected to the kids in the community. It also gave our staff something to do, you know, a way to feel like we were kind of helping in some way. And who knew that, you know, especially Miss Melanie is amazing on camera. She's really good at, she could have her own little TV show. So,
that's great.
So that was fun to see the staff do all that.
Yeah. So a sing along with Kaylee, they actually sing along. How does it work?
Oh yeah. I mean, she, you know, she was on there with her guitar, I think. And, she would just be doing some songs and then you would just, I mean, you're watching the video at home. And so you just kind of do what you want to do. But yeah, that's kind of why they're there. And, so you can watch the video and kind of do the activity along with it or do it after the fact, you know, whatever makes sense. There was one time where, Miss Melanie was talking about building forts and she actually built a fort in her own living room and did the video in the fort. And so, and my kids loved that. And so we built our own huge fort at home.
That's awesome.
We took over our whole living room and we lived in the fort for like a week, you know, just changing up the environment. So, so yeah, it's really fun, but all of those things are still out there and available. You know, even though, you know, we're kind of getting to a point where we're back together again a lot, but you never know, you might still need to explore more at home sometimes. So
yeah,
it's all out there.
Yeah. And how do they ask? They access that through the website also?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I think if they just click under the programs section of our website, they'll see Explore More at Home and they can click on that. And then they'll see all the different, there's like a bunch of little colorful boxes that have all the different themes for all the different kinds of things that they could do. So,
yeah, that's what I think I saw too. One of them I think was Pets on Parade. Oh. I was like, oh, I have to hop on this podcast interview and record it. But I think I'm going to have to go back and look at this Pets on Parade.
Yeah, there was pets. We did gardening. There was a Star Wars themed one on May the 4th.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean, there was all kinds of stuff. So
May the 4th be with you. Yes.
Yeah.
Very clever. You guys are so creative. Yes, yeah. I do. I see what you did there. I totally checked it out. Well, word on the street is you have some fun coming up this summer for the kiddos with your summer camps for the junior explorers and master explorers. I saw, what are those age groups though exactly? And what should the laughers know about summer camps and enrolling their kids into them?
Yeah, our summer camps are a huge program. We offer camps almost the entire summer, lots of different opportunities. Our junior explorers, that's from ages 3.5 to 5. And then our master explorers are ages 6 to 14. And so we try to tailor the curriculum for the camps to those two different age groups. And they fill up really fast. You know, they're very popular. And, you know, it's just a quality experience in the summer for these kids and their families. And so they often go very quickly. We actually have people start asking about them in January. They're already wondering about the summer camps. So so they tend to be full pretty fast, but there is a waitlist opportunity as well. And so, and we do often managed to make our way into the wait list a little bit for each of the camps. So if there's something out there that interests people, I would, and it's full, I would still encourage them to get on the wait list and we'll do our best to get them in there.
Mm. And if they somehow miss it, they know to get in there early for the next year.
That's right. Yep.
Got it. Okay.
Start paying attention like February.
Mark the calendars, laugher parents. Mark them. You mentioned memberships earlier, and I was looking at those, and that was very unique to me. At least, I mean, again, my son's 28, so it's been a minute. Maybe lots of things have changed, I'm sure, since I, you know, he was those ages to now. But I thought it was unique that you had different types of memberships available, not just one. For example, you have a grandparent membership, you have a gifts membership. What are the different types you do have exactly, and what are the benefits of having them?
Yeah, we try to make the museum as accessible as possible. And so we offered some different levels of membership, and the membership just really, you know, basically if you're the kind of family that's going to come and visit us more than a few times in 1 year, you should absolutely get a membership. It's a steal of a deal and it pays for itself very quickly. You also get discounts to workshops, summer camps, different things like that. And we also will offer some special member events as well. So it's just a great way to sort of deepen the connection to the museum and try to maximize all the opportunities for the kids and your family. And so we do offer a few different ones because we know families look different and there's lots of different ways that families call themselves family. And so we want to make sure that there are memberships to kind of go along with that. Our Explorer membership is sort of the overarching one that kind of gets you all the things. And it also allows you to visit other children's museums in sort of a reciprocal program type way. So you can visit other children's museums across the country and get half off admission in those other places as well. So if you're a big traveler, or a big children's museum fan, you know, that might be kind of a good one to try. Then we have our family membership, which is our most popular one. And that allows for, a family, I think two adults and as many children, but two adults per time to visit there. But then we have our grandparent membership. So their own membership and bring their grandkids anytime they want.
Okay.
Yes. And so that's really fun to get to see the grandparents coming and playing with their grandkids and having a good time there. So we have quite a few grandparent members. And so that's really fun to watch. And then we also have our 1+1. And so this is for one child and one adult. And so this just allows for that kind of a pairing to be able to come and play together anytime. So
that's really great. I love that you have the different memberships available to suit the different needs and interests in families. That's really great. You guys have a very creative team, Kelly.
It's play is so important for these kids. And so we want to do whatever we can to make sure that kids have access. We also offer member scholarships as well. So if a family can't afford a membership, they can apply for one of our scholarships and have the membership for free so that their family can enjoy the museum together. So that's an option too.
Oh, that's great. And that's different than the gift membership because you can buy, I guess, a membership for someone. Is that what the gift membership is?
Sure. Yeah. So we always encourage that, especially around Christmas time. It's such a great gift to a family. So you can buy a gift membership and then give it to, you know, your own kids or, a family in town or whatever. And for me, like as a parent, you know, our kids have a lot of stuff and they have a lot of toys. They don't really need a lot more stuff. But to be able to have this experience throughout the year, is such a great gift to be able to give. So we always encourage that as an option.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I would think that would make an excellent gift. Even an auntie or an uncle could give it as a gift. Exactly.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I like that a lot. You mentioned toys. And so I imagine there is a gift shop inside and online. What is that right? There's a gift shop.
Yes. Okay. We have a small gift shop. We're all about the hands-on and experiential learning. And so any of the toys that we do provide are very curated and tailored toward some of the similar learning styles that we're hoping to cultivate in the museum as well. It's not huge, but it's there. It's a good place to go for some last minute gifts or if you have some stocking stuffer needs or Easter basket needs or whatever the case may be. We've got some nice stuff that, you know, you can count on the quality because we want it to match the experience that they're having in the museum as well.
Okay. So what kinds of toys? They're award-winning toys, they're discovery toys. What would be a couple examples?
We've got some high quality little cars that are, you know, they even have the doors that open and that kind of thing. They're very realistic looking. So we have those. We have a lot of kind of manipulative fidget type things.
Nice.
Lots of like brain putty and all that fun stuff that kids really love. I'm trying to think, we have some puzzle type games and things like that. Using the brain and getting the brain going on trying to solve like little box, but almost like Rubik's cubes, trying to, you know, unlock the cube and get things out, different things like that.
Oh, that looks, yeah. I saw a little bit about the online shop. I haven't seen the in-store one. So I was wondering how similar that was. So thank you for sharing that with us. It's really great.
Yeah.
And then you partner with the community too and do some amazing events. And you have a couple coming up in the fall that I'm really excited about. One is called Run the Runway. That's in September. And the other one is Night at the Museum in November. Can you share with us all the lovely deets about these fabulous events and how people can be a part of it?
Yes. Well, a lot of people don't realize that Explore More is actually a nonprofit organization, and that almost half of our operating budget comes from private support. And so we, but we're fun and creative people here at the museum. So we try to find fun and creative ways to raise money. And so thus we have Run the Runway and Night at the Museum. So Run the Runway is a super fun event. You literally get to run on the runway at the Shenandoah Valley Airport. SHD has been tremendous partners with us over these last few years to put this event on. And it's all to benefit the aviation exhibit here at the museum, which is one of our most popular exhibits. I mean, there's a real McCoy airplane in the building.
And the kids get to actually
a real McCoy airplane that they actually get to go in and play with. So so the Run the Runway is kind of a fun event to for families to get together. It's a flat course, you know, it's the runway. So it's pretty flat.
That's my kind of course, Kelly. So keep talking to me.
Flat course here in the valley. So so yeah, so it's a fun event. We encourage families to come out, and it's good, you know, healthy exercise. And it's also just really cool to be on the runway. And the kids, I think, really get a kick out of the fact that they get to be out there in this place that normally only planes can be. So that's a really exciting event. And then Night at the Museum is our annual fundraising gala, and this is for adults. This is an adult's chance to come and play at the museum. Basically, we shut the museum down for the night. We dress up the museum. You dress up a little bit, and then you come and have lots of good food from our local downtown restaurant partners. And you get to just kind of hang out in the museum and have a good time. We tend to have music and dancing, and of course there will be games and other opportunities to play, and then of course there's silent auction and live auction and some other fun opportunities to give. But it's a good time, and unfortunately with the pandemic we had to go virtual the last couple years, so we're super excited to be able to bring people back together again, to get to have fun in person. And it's just always a hoot to watch these adults enjoy themselves in the museum. So highly recommend. Good people watching, and great time to raise some funds for this great place.
Okay. Well, the laughers who know me know probably are expecting me to ask this next question. Are there cocktails?
Yes. There definitely would be some cocktails for sure.
Okay. You know, comedians like me just want to know. Okay. what are other ways laughers can support the museum?
So, I mean, we're always looking for fun and exciting people to come and support the museum in lots of different ways. Of course, giving financially is huge and so wonderful, and there's lots of different ways that people can do that. We're always looking for volunteers. You know, we're a small but mighty staff, but we need some extra person power to really help keep the museum running. And so to get people who are willing to come in and help with running a play session, or maybe they want to volunteer for one of our events or something like that, we always need that kind of help. And then we're always looking for people who have interesting talents that they're willing to share. You know, we think everything's a learning opportunity. Yes. So like comedians, you know, we always love it when these experts can come in and share their talents and create a fun and educational time for the kids. So, you know, if that's, you know, resonating, then we would love for someone to reach out and say, hey, I can do this. Can we put something together and, you know, make it a workshop? So there's lots of different ways.
All right. That sounds like a lot of fun. We might have to talk sometime more.
Yeah.
About that.
Okay. Well, I think a comedy camp of some kind could be really fun.
It could. That would be a lot of fun. I love kiddos, so it'd be fun. As we wrap up here, can you share with the laughers how they can follow Explore More Discovery Museum on social media or otherwise so they can get more information about all that you have to offer?
Yep, our website's a great place to go, iexploremore.com. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at iExploreMore with the letter I. And so you can definitely check us out that way. And then, of course, hopefully just come and visit too. You know, we're right here downtown Harrisonburg, right next to the library, right on Main Street. And so we'd love for you to pop in and visit and say hello, and we'll show you how you can explore more.
Excellent. Well, laughers, we will be sure to put their website information in the show notes for you as well, so that you have that if you're driving or just can't write it down. Just remember, you can go to the show notes and get that as well. Thank you so much, Kelly. This has been a pleasure having you on today, talking about all things Explore More. It's really exciting to have this wonderful family-friendly asset in our community right here in the Valley. Thank you from the bottom of my heart so much.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was really fun and good chance to play.
Yes, which I love to do, as yes. Laughers, you can get more information about Explore More at iexploremore.com. That's iexploremore.com. There you can see their play session hours, availability, and reserve your space. Be sure to also check out those museum memberships, their online gift shop for award-winning educational games and toys, gift cards, and more. We'll also be sure to put that information again in the show notes for you as well. Remember that. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.